Hello and welcome to Cangria, home of Canada's queer medium. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Hopefully I sound a little bit different today. I think you're getting the mic off the board here. Is that what you're getting?
Off the board? What kind of board?
Oh my gosh, I could turn myself all the way down as well. I haven't had a fade on a mic for a while, so excuse me as I play around with the fader. So does it sound better?
Are we going to start again?
No, I'm sticking with it. I got a nice big board here, and I got to push all the shiny buttons. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at these buttons, and I'm like, you know what this needs? This needs one of those, like, disinfectant wipes.
Uh-huh.
Like those, and just get them, buff them up a little bit and make them extra shiny. Anyone who's...
For the listening audience who doesn't know what we're talking about a soundboard because Luke is back in an actual studio.
I'm in an actual radio station right now. Yeah, very exciting stuff with things I can turn you down, which is great. And although I don't think it works...
Yeah, no.
Because we're recording on Zoom, so it that doesn't work. But I can turn me up or down.
Well, I was also going to say my dial is broken. It is. Even I have troubles turning myself up or down.
This is true. And that's just mental health. So do. Well, we want to apologize for our listeners. Last week, we were not on the air. Well, we may have been. You may have heard an older episode or a repeat of the week before. And do want to apologize for that. Mm-hmm. I just started a new job in Toronto. I went to the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Is where I am. I am now in the center of the universe, as all good Toronto folks like to think.
And in a couple of weeks, I'll be at the other center of the universe.
Montreal. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Actually, there is also the center of the universe, which I think is halfway up Vancouver Island. I think the Dalai Lama went there and declared it to be the center of the universe. So there's competing centers.
I'm sure the actual center of the universe is just like a spot of black void between galaxies.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, there is also that. Anyway, we are Canada's LGBTQ talk show. We are lining up an interview with an incredible journalist with the Global Mail who's done some really interesting research into Lester B. Pearson, mm-hmm. gay spies, kind of interesting news that's very historical in nature. So we're just needing to line that up. Mm-hmm. I am still trying to figure things out in this new radio station. So things are a work in progress, but we are working on it and we're making progress.
Well, the good news is the story is already like 60, 70 years old. So
yeah, so an extra week isn't going to kill it. All right. Okay, let's jump to one of my favorite stories. And that is in a couple of weeks. In fact, next weekend or this weekend at time of broadcast, if you're listening to us as a podcast or on the radio, mm-hmm. You are probably familiar with the fact that this coming weekend, and I don't need to tell you folks, is Eurovision. The Eurovision final, May the 14th, I want to say, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think it's like 9 p.m. Eastern European time or something, and it just works out to be 3 in the afternoon. So I will be day drinking.
It is the 14th. Yeah, I put a reminder in my calendar. That's how important it is.
It is. It is in the calendar. It's locked and loaded. Are you joining our virtual watch party, Sebastian?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And because I'm moving in about a month's time, I have a whole bunch of that bottle that someone gave me that I never got around to drinking that needs drinking that I'm not taking with me.
Yeah, so, when you're an adult, you get to a certain point in time when you've just accumulated about, you know, bottles of spirits that have maybe 2 or 3 ounces in them.
Yes,
And you're like, oh, do I really want half an ounce of peach snaps or, you know, 3 ounces of tequila? I mean, I always want 3 ounces of, you know, mm-hmm. but that's another story. But yes, you're absolutely right. We sort of amass a collection of...
It's one thing to have a mostly empty bottle on your shelf. It's another thing to take that mostly empty bottle, put it in a box, and ask a friend to help you move it. Like, that's It's a very different beast, you know?
Absolutely. Would you mind moving my almost empty collection of glassware?
So even though I have some nice gin, I'm not going to be enjoying my nice gin. I am going to be enjoying, as you say, vodka, other people's white rum, and a mostly empty bottle of, as you say, actual peach schnapps on my shelf.
Are you going to make a Long Island iced tea and just hope for the best?
Or? No, actually, I don't have everything for the Long Island, and I'm not going to go and get it because I don't want to get this. I still remember off the top of my head. I have it memorized. It's pretty easy. It's 5-bar whites. So it's your white rum, silver tequila, vodka, gin, triple sec, little bit of lime juice, and then just enough Coke to turn the color.
Absolutely. All right. Well, more you know. Yeah. We are not an advert for alcoholism or drinking. it was just a tangent. But yes, May the 14th, we will be watching the Eurovision Song Contest final. Now, you might be thinking two things. One, why and how is this remotely gay? And two, how is this remotely Canadian? Well, I can answer both of those questions.
Well, the answer to the first question is, how dare you?
I know. How very dare you? Eurovision is about as gay. I was going to say, Eurovision is almost as gay as the gay games.
Yeah.
You know, which is a whole different thing. Speaking of gay games, the Asian gay games were kicking off in Thailand last week. So I believe those are still underway. They've struggled a little bit. The Asian games, I think, actually got cancelled because of COVID in China. They were scheduled to take place in China, and I believe that got cancelled. I'd have to double check. But the Asian gay games is happening there. Why have gay games? Because for lots of countries and lots of sports and lots of teams, gay folks get ostracized, hostile environments in the locker rooms. And it's just it's the same as, you know, having women's leagues and so on and so forth. It's just creating a more inclusive space, albeit incredibly competitive. So
yes, you know,
absolutely. Where was I going with this? Yes, so the Eurovision Song Contest is very gay. There have been multiple songs about LGBT rights. Famously, things got censored when they were being broadcast into China and Russia. Mm-hmm. Russia will not be participating in the Eurovision Song Contest of 2022.
I am not alarmed.
You are not alarmed. No. Russia apparently was alarmed briefly about this. But essentially, the Eurovision Song Contest is the longest running singing competition in the entire world. It has been going for 60 plus years.
You know, I'm sure it's just the longest running televised singing competition.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as soon as they invented television, shortly after they invented Eurovision.
I was thinking, there's got to be some remote village in Indonesia or Madagascar or something.
Where they gather every week and just have a sing-song.
Or a competition of some kind, you know, like, surely. But yeah, no, for televised competition.
Televised, it's the longest running televised singing competition. And it brings in audiences of hundreds of millions because it's broadcast all over Europe and all over countries that like to think they're in Europe, like Israel and Australia, both of which compete in Eurovision, despite being quite far from Europe.
I mean, really, if you pay the entry fee, you get to join Eurovision. That's really what it comes down to.
I want Canada in Eurovision, but we didn't get Canada in Eurovision. We got Canada Vision, which isn't... It's not a new campaign by the NDP for Vision Care. It's actually going to be a televised event, presumably in 2023, 2024, once they've got the ball rolling on it. There is a Toronto-based production company, and they are following in the footsteps of America Vision or US Vision. Mm-hmm. I forget what name they went with. Now, the Americans... It makes sense to me, okay? Eurovision has, 42, 46, something like that, different entries?
Yep.
Every different country has its own entry. They compete, and the most popular doesn't win. And it goes from there. But, in the US, there's 52 states.
Oh, yeah.
Each of them would submit somebody.
A dozen territories that may or may not count, depending on.
I don't know how Puerto Rico is going to end up on this, but we'll keep an eye out. I'm going to vote for Puerto Rico no matter
I'm going to vote for Samoa regardless.
Samoa just, for the win.
Just write it in.
For me, it's the U.S. Virgin Islands. That's who I'm voting for. The U.S. Virgin Islands have my vote. Move over, Texas. U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
I like the idea because it promotes music discoverability.
Yes, so absolutely, yeah.
Hawaii has the same platform to bring some, a talented person to the forefront mm-hmm. as the state of New York, or the state of Florida yep. has the same platform as Utah or...
And in the States, because they have that coastal kind of, especially in terms of the entertainment industry, they have a coastal problem where New York and LA kind of dominate everything. And it's like, well, maybe Wyoming has something to share with the world, and they don't really get many opportunities for Wisconsinites. So it's pretty good for them. Whereas Canada, we're a little bit more thin on the ground.
I think Wyoming and Wisconsin are two different states.
They are. I was
okay. All right.
That was
two different. Just adding to the list.
There was a comma between those. Yes. Canada, I think maybe you could have there's some places where you could argue there's two, like Newfoundland, you could say there's the Rock and there's the mainland, and Ontario, Western and Eastern Ontario, or actually you should say Eastern and Northern Ontario, barely like each other and don't really consider themselves to be in the same province.
Honestly, I think we've got Toronto and then not Toronto is really, I think, the better distinction between for Ontario. Anyway, the thing that makes me raise an eyebrow is Eurovision has about 40 plus different competing countries.
Depends on the year, but yeah.
US Vision has, 52 plus-ish. So Canada's only got 10 provinces and territories. So that's going to take, 20 minutes?
There's all the faffing about it between, but also, 10? I'm pretty sure we have more than that, don't we? Am I not wrong? We have three territories alone, so.
It's true. Well, we will take a look at a map.
But I mean, if there's 10 contestants,
figure out how many of it.
Yeah. Because as we all know, there's 17 sized provinces in the Maritimes alone. So.
This is true. Yeah, yeah. I wonder how many years PEI could go before they run out of
musical, they'll get a ringer in
submissions. A lot of folk, lot of folk in,
I mean,
in PEI.
Switzerland brought big in folksy, Celine Dion as a ringer.
Island.
So, I mean,
they did bring in Celine Dion as a ringer. All right. Well, sticking to a bit of a folk and Americana, this is Long Way Down by Iskwe and Tom Wilson. And we shall be back just after.
Don't need to fight. Why don't you come inside? I can tell you're slipping out of sight. And when you stagger, I'll help you find the light. 'Cause it's a long way down tonight.
You've been digging this hole. Down in
them all to pieces, 'cause you're a dynamite.
You don't need to be sorry, it's gonna be just fine, 'cause it's a long way down tonight. Mother, mother, mercy, let your hands lead me. I can be your vessel, I can be your prodigy. Let me be your freedom, let me see the signs, 'cause it's a long way down tonight. Look at mama kicking at your door. You carry your message at work,
full of last words, long out of sight. It's a long way down tonight,
'cause it's a long way down tonight, right? 'Cause it's a long way down tonight.
Hello and welcome back to Kangwe, home of Canada's queer media. We looked at a map, and there are 10 provinces and 3 territories, so 13 people. They reckon they can get qualifying rounds, semi-finals, and the final out of 13 people. Mind you, RuPaul's Drag Race managed to keep like 12 people for almost the entire series. So, you know, at this point, anything is believable. Now, have you been following the news of quite big news of
on and off? There was an update that before we started recording, you told me about, and I remember thinking, I don't remember hearing that. So you got me on that one. Yep,
I did. I did get you on that one. So just to cast folks' minds back. There was for many, many years a ban where if you were a homosexual, a practicing homosexual, or even a non-practicing homosexual, didn't really matter, you could not donate blood. And then this was born out of the AIDS crisis and paranoia. And they just assumed everybody
we've talked
who
about
was
this
gay
in
had
past
AIDS,
episodes, where up until at least 92, it made sense. And then when the science started rolling in, by the time you get to around 2006, the good excuse started fading out as being less and less valid. So there was a point where this we didn't know how to test it, we didn't know how to detect it, we didn't know how to prevent it, we didn't know how to suppress it. So there was a time where it made complete and total sense. But that was like a lifetime ago. Yeah. Literally
that was decades
ago,
you know. Yeah, it's 2020 now. The science has caught up since then, and it's yes. Oh my god, this pandemic. I can't be the only one who's like, 2019. Woo!
Yeah.
I know it's 2020 something. I was on the phone earlier and I was like, we bought a house in 2020. So you know, like last year, and I was no, was it the year before? Where are we?
I do that all the time when I talk to people, I get angry at people from the government who ask me to do things. And I say, the year is 2003. Nobody uses a fax machine anymore. And sometimes they get the joke. And sometimes they're like, that's the wrong year. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah. Blood ban. Mm-hmm. It made sense a long time ago. And there has been talks for the past, 5 or 6.
Well, there wasn't talk. Let's be real. The Justin Trudeau and his Liberals, when they first came to power the first time around, not the third time around, which we're at now, the first time around, they very much promised, yes, this is discrimination and we will end the ban. And nothing happened. And then the second time round, they were like, oh, well, we're going to get on that immediately. And nothing happened. The third time round, nobody mentioned it. There was a complete radio silence by the Liberals on that front, just maybe preferring not to mention the fact that they haven't got to it yet. But in that intervening time, there was a lawsuit. I have the name of the individual.
I mean, we should also say in the background, there was a bit of a Spider-Man meme going on where the government was pointing to Blood Services Canada and Blood Services Canada was pointing to various scientific bodies and various scientific bodies were pointing to the government. And they were all being like, they're the ones for stopping us. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, they all said, you know, if you asked me, I would allow it. But there's other group is, you know, has reasons why they think we shouldn't do it. You should go ask them. And we've been covering that little back loop for the past few years.
Yeah. So Christopher Karas essentially said, look, this is discrimination. Mm-hmm. Somebody is responsible here. Canadian Blood Services said it isn't us. It is a operational decision by the Canadian Blood Services. Canadian Blood Services say it's not us. It is a policy decision by the Canadian Health Service. And the Liberals said that we will change it before saying we have no authority to change it. So who knows? Who knows was responsible? Eventually, after this complaint got filed with the Canadian Human Rights Commission, forcing somebody to take some kind of responsibility for this blood ban, the Liberals insisted again that they would end it. And Canadian Blood Services, all of a sudden, did one pilot for, I believe, 2 or 3 months in two communities where they suddenly discovered that they could perfectly operate without this ban in place. Now, it's worth mentioning that many, many, many countries have long since ended this ban based on science. You know, France, Britain, you know, actually most of Western Europe, I believe, a number of U.S. states have entered it. So it's just
fair, it's not like they opened up the blood trough and you just go in and pour some in. Like they're testing it, they're screening it, they are asking questions about you know, your behaviors and choices, and they're selecting according to that. They're not asking, are you a gay man? They're not asking, do you do well?
They did. They said, are you a man that's had sex with men, which is predominantly gay men.
Well, I mean, every country's going to be a little bit different, but many of them are asking more based on behaviors. So have you had sex with somebody new where you did not know their status or something to that tune, which is a very different question from have you had any sexual contact with any man whatsoever, which is.
The ban was a lifetime ban, and then it was 7 years where if you crossed your legs and didn't do anything for 7 years, eventually you could donate blood. And then it was 3 years, and then it was 3 months. And they said, just because we're gay doesn't mean we have AIDS. Like, the 2020s now. Like, let's move on from this ridiculous trail of thought. You know, it's just not backed up. There are at-risk groups and transmission of HIV. You know, there is a lot of HIV transmission, you know, transmission vaginally. Because believe it or not, women also have HIV. This may be a shock.
And for years now.
This may be shocking to some.
Needle sharing intravenous have HIV. Has been the leading.
I think in the prairies, that was one of the leading causes of new HIV infections. And, you know, there is, it's ridiculous to think that. So anyway, long story short, Canadian Blood Services finally proposed to the Canadian Health Service their new plan of approach, where they're not going to ask, are you a man that's had sex with a man in the last 3 months? They're not going to ask that question now because that was seen as discriminatory to gay people. However, they have changed it, and they will now be asking, have you had anal intercourse in the last 3 months with somebody new or multiple partners? Well, I don't want to make assumptions about the bedrooms of the country, but in my experience as a homosexual, the number of people who have had anal intercourse with a man or multiple men is almost exclusively.
I mean, there's some adventurous women out there, but
now, maybe there's adventurous women, and maybe there's adventurous straight folks. But for me, it looks to me like Canadian Blood Services has said, all right, we've got this spade, which is we want to ban gay people from donating blood, but we're not allowed to call it a spade. So what we're going to ask is, are you a long-handled instrument with a broad, shovely bit, and see if that fits the bill. You know, realistically, what really annoys me about this is, as I was reading about them lifting this blood ban, allegedly, I then immediately had a targeted ad on Facebook asking me to donate blood. Yes, I'm on Facebook. I am a certain age. I am on Facebook. Jeez, I'm also on TikTok and many. I'm on many social programs, social platforms. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's insulting to think that just by slapping a new label on it, you know, I think LGBT leaders across Canada have essentially said, look, if you're asking a question, only gay folks are going to answer one way, that's still a discriminatory question. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm of two minds of this, because if they're targeting the risky behavior and it's the behavior that they're trying to weed out. I mean, if you are a gay or bisexual man who does not have anal intercourse with new people, like you only do that with people in your permanent relationship with, or you just don't like it either way. You do all the other things that two men can do with each other, which is actually a pretty long list, then you could still donate blood. I mean, it's not, it is targeting the behavior. The behavior is disproportionately in one demographic. But I mean, they are targeting the behavior more.
But it seems to be that, I don't know. It's yes, they've zeroed in on the at-risk behavior of anal intercourse, but they are not asking about pre-exposure prophylactics, which is very effective at preventing HIV infection.
Yep, they're not asking
not asking about condom use, which is incredibly effective at preventing HIV infection. You know, they're not asking about any of these things that gay folks do to protect themselves and everyone else does to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. They seem almost disinterested in that information.
Because it's not anal intercourse still has a far lower risk than unprotected vaginal intercourse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have sex with 300 women vaginally, and I can still donate blood. You know, I could be on pre-exposure prophylactics, have a condom, and do everything else imaginable with one man in anal intercourse, and I cannot donate blood for 3 months. But I could have sex with 300 women, and we're good to go.
Yeah,
it beggars belief. You know, it's the same issue as before. You know, why are you only zeroing in with a microscope on anal intercourse, but the other forms of transmission, which is leading to many new cases of HIV in this country, seem to be off the radar? I know the gay community is like, this is and slightly
all of this
better.
In the context of a decades-long blood shortage. Like this,
Yeah, that's the most frustrating thing. Very frustrating. And that's what I was saying about the targeted ads. It's like, oh, you should give me your blood. But whatever you do, do not do any anything, you know, along the lines of the derriere. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not interested. I don't know. It's step in the right direction by Canadian Blood Services and the Canadian Health Service. But I have a feeling now with many politicians, including Justin Trudeau and others, patting themselves on the back saying we have ended the blood ban. And it's like, no, you've just rebranded the blood ban. That's what you've done. You've rebranded.
This is the spot that is new to me, because last I heard they were going to specifically ask about unprotected sex. And this new update is just weird, because I'm not going to say they nailed it before, but they were doing, you know, they were getting pretty close to the mark of being cautious but reasonable. And now they're doing, I don't know what they're doing. This is peculiar to take that little half step back.
Yeah. I mean, it does not inspire confidence. You know, really, with this blood shortage, and we're trying to encourage people, you know, it's in you to give. But we're just not interested if you've done anything with a new man in the last 3 months. You know, if the question was, have you had sex with a new woman in the last 3 months? their blood donations would drop off a cliff, but you know what I mean? And but it seems acceptable to do that, apply that question to men. I don't know. I think the gay community, the amount of new people who can now donate is only really people, gay people who are in monogamous relationships.
Well, and
that is
men
about
who don't
it,
like butt stuff as well.
That's about,
yeah.
Yeah, this is true. I do always forget about the non-butt men. much to your chagrin, I think.
Well, they are out there, and they complain on Reddit quite a bit. Yeah,
they do complain on Reddit. Yeah. They are very very vocal. All right. Speaking of complaining on Reddit, one of the stories that came to my attention recently was Grindr. I mean, we've talked about Grindr every which way from Sunday. And one of the things that we mentioned before was how Grindr has essentially it takes your location based on nearby satellites and other, you know, receiving information. And it was supposed to
They add a randomized location. Fudge number, basically.
But if you get three different if you fake yourself three different ghost Grindr accounts, they could pinpoint you almost immediately. And we were talking about software that's out there that could find almost which apartment you're in an apartment building, at least which side of the building you're in. But Grindr did have detailed location data. The US government, if you recall, politely asked that service members and so on not use Grindr because of their sort of somewhat leaky location data. Well, according to the Wall Street Journal, which is never a good start for a company, Grindr was not only occasionally having this information leaked, but was actively selling it, and not just your vague-ish whereabouts. From 2017 to 2020, according to the Wall Street Journal, Grindr was selling the exact locations of participants, as well as historical data, which would have been available for sale. Grindr announced to the Wall Street Journal that, and I quote here, since early 2020, Grindr has shared less information with our partners than any of our big tech platforms and most of our competitors. The activities that have been described would not be possible with Grindr's current privacy practices, which we've had in place for 2 years. Now, I would believe them about as far as I can throw them. Because how many times have we talked about privacy breaches by Grindr, and they've promised up and down that it's impossible, they do not collect that information, they do not sell it. It's not a real thing.
At least partly believe them, because that period that you're talking about, did you say 2017 to 2020? Yeah,
I think
it was owned by a Chinese firm, and everything in China is indirectly owned by the state because that's how it works there. And then they got sold off. And when they got sold off, I do remember reading articles about the new owners looking at the code and basically saying like, ooh, and then not going into detail about what that meant. They're basically just, we found some stuff, we fixed some stuff. There were security issues. Don't worry about it. And this is basically probably what that don't worry about it contents were, that it was, you know, exact locations, because fudging your location shouldn't be too hard. You could just do something where it's on the user end, where it takes your number and your actual phone will fudge the number for you, so it's not even on the thing. Like, you could do it on your end. There's a way to do it. It's not that hard. It's just really peculiar that this is coming out now, but I'm glad it came out at all, because now we have a better idea about their practices. And I mean, this is the kind of thing that you would want to get monitored, you know, that this is, if it happened in the EU, you know, they'd be all over it, because they love regulating this kind of thing.
They would be. They are very passionate about regulations Europe. You know, for me, it's if I was a gay man, let's say a refugee or someone in Chechnya or, you know, anywhere, and the government of Russia could buy advertising, which would give the exact location of every homosexual, in the country. You know, this isn't just the I don't really want Walmart to know exactly where I am, you know, kind of question. This is, do I want to know exactly who is a homosexual in a U.S. base in a slightly hostile country? Or in various
A Russian living in Russia.
You know, what have you.
There are Russians on Grindr in Russia. So, I mean, and to be fair, because of the way that satellite locations work, it's plus or minus like maybe a meter. But if you live in an apartment that's larger than 1 meter cubed, then they can figure it out.
outside of Toronto, really, and Vancouver, then if you're in Metro Vancouver or Toronto, you're good. But no, I mean, it's shocking, it's upsetting, it's disappointing, and I think this is further evidence that if you are, there's many reasons why we should be protective of our privacy, and for folks who are using dating apps, be aware that sometimes the unabashedly sell your information to anyone
for
who
sure,
sits still long enough to pay for it. All right. We are going to jump to our next track. And for that, we have Red Flags, which is very on brand with the conversation we've just had about Grindr by CJ Cooper. This is Red Flags by CJ Cooper. And we will be back just after this. Welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer
media. My name is Sebastian.
My name is Luke Smith. Now, we've talked a lot about many things over the years, but we have talked a lot about the Bruce MacArthur murders. He was a serial killer based out of Toronto, a gardener, and he disposed of remains in a gardening fashion. Really interesting documentary on Netflix. I find it was more pro-police than I think maybe they should have had the credit for. But speaking of police and the Bruce MacArthur murders, now, for those who aren't familiar, he did take the life of Skandraj Navaratnam, Andrew Kinsman, Salim Essam, Abdullah Basir Faisi, and then Karushna Kumar, Dean Lysawick, Sarush Mahmoodi, and Mahid Kehan. But there was a judicial investigation into how the Toronto police had investigated it and found that there was no
tools unit. I remember that, yeah.
Which is astonishing that there was no missing persons unit. So all of these missing person cases sort of happened in a bubble in and of their own, and there was nobody tying them together. I mentioned that to the station manager here, and he was like, wow, that seems insane.
I'm they had sort of a general pool of detectives who needed to do detective-y things, which on the one hand, fair enough, but I mean, they had like missing persons has a specific skill set, and you would assume that you would get certain kinds of training that goes along with that, and the kind of detective work that goes into forensics and the kind of detective work that goes into fraud. Like, they're all pretty different. Even though there is that common core of detective-iness, the details really matter. So having a specialized unit for missing persons kind of just makes sense.
So the consequence of that is that there was nobody was putting two and two together. So, you know, there's a gay man here that goes missing, and a gay man here that goes missing, and a gay man here that goes missing, to the point that we have lots of gay men going missing. And at no point did somebody go, I think there's a lot of gay guys here going missing outside of the gay community. And that's what's really frustrating here is that the gay community is adamant as of person 203.
But it gets worse because in the 90s, as a result of a serial killing case in the 90s, the RCMP introduced a system
that discovers patterns.
Yeah. So all you have to do is input the data. And it turns out that there was two issues going on in Toronto. The first is that nobody was inputting the data. They're processing the paperwork, but it was hard form. It was on paper. Nobody was typing it into the national system. And the second problem is nobody was looking at the national system so that when it did come up with hits, nobody was there to read them.
Yeah, essentially, you know, if I'm remembering correctly, the judge essentially said, like, look, Toronto Police Services seems to be an authority into and of only itself. And there was very little interest in seeing what happened outside of Toronto. So they were not even looking at connections to any cases outside of their own little data bank. And they weren't checking their own little national database.
Is still to this day cutting edge. Like they're still improving it all the time. Whenever I watch documentaries about forensics, a lot of people still refer to the Canadian system as being pretty dang good. So long as you're using it,
Toronto.
Like an immersion blender is the best way to make soups and sauces. Mm-hmm. But if you're just punching a bowl of vegetables, it's going to be a very different bowl of gazpacho in the end.
This is true. This is why I do not make very good gazpacho.
That metaphor went off the rails, but I stood by it.
So anyway,
no rag rats.
It did a load. So just last week, the police chief James Raymer presented to the Toronto Police Services Board an update on how Judge Epstein's review has been rolled out 1 year later. Now, this review essentially looked into how the police had responded to missing person cases, specifically around Bruce MacArthur, and made 151 recommendations. 12 months later, how many do you believe the Toronto Police...
I remember there's a couple recommendations in there that were hilariously simple, like label your files or something. I'm willing to bet like a dozen, a baker's dozen. Zero.
No. Zero. A great big, a big fat zero. Apparently, in the last 12 months, the Toronto Police Service has been looking at these 151 recommendations on how to better find missing people. And they've spent the last 12 months trying to figure out, is this a me job? Is this a you job? Is this a police board job? And that is the gist of it. They are working on about 60 of them. They haven't even got started on 91 recommendations on how to, and let me repeat, find missing people. It is absolutely shocking. Now, what they have done, and this is kudos to the Toronto Police Service, they have launched a pilot project in Dispatch 51 or 51 Division. I'm not entirely sure where 51 Division is. But essentially, they have made an app. Let me see. It is Parliament Street, Toronto. I think it's one of the downtown divisions. They've made an app. And what this means is that once there's a missing person reported, it takes about 10 minutes for a Toronto police person to respond to a call. So someone's gone missing. 10 minutes later, a police officer shows up. What they can do is directly add that information into the app immediately, such and such a name, such and such a build, eye color, hair color, last known outfit. And all of the other police services that have that app will now immediately be made aware of such and such a person, last seen, such a place. So within about 10 minutes with this new app, you know, every other, you know, TPS person would be made aware of that, file, which is fantastic. And then from there, they notify, you know, the transport police and the Ontario Provincial Police and the RCMP, and it sort of expands from there. So I don't know, as a on the ground policing tool, I think this is a fantastic development for Division 51, which is the only place that has it at the moment. You know, so if you go missing there, this is really, really good news. If you go missing anywhere else in Toronto, they've only made progress on 60 of the recommendations. So, I mean, I am notoriously a little bit flippant on this radio show. I am aware of that. Because if we didn't laugh, all I could do is cry because six people died. The Toronto Police Service refused to participate in a program that could have connected some dots and saved even one of these men from being brutally murdered. You know, it is absolutely horrific.
Yeah, and I've said multiple times that I am fundamentally in support of the police, semicolon, but not Toronto.
With the exception
North Bay has a mess to clean up as well, but broadly speaking as a concept, you know, versus the specifics, and Toronto is definitely one of those specifics where, you know, the whether or not police should be in pride parades, I think, is a conversation. But if people say we're not interested in the conversation and they live in Toronto, my answer is, oh, well, yeah, obviously. So
yeah, I get that. When there is such a massive failure
that
it has literally cost lives, and it is something that there are other police services across the country saying, you did or didn't do what? It is shocking, shocking. Now, according to the recommendations, the 151 recommendations, there wasn't anything in there that was specifically noted as should be done in the first year. So it's not like they had a target and missed it, but it is like they had 151 recommendations and have achieved zero. So, I mean, that's still not fantastic on their front. I mean,
there's a lesson in there for you about management. Give people deadlines, you know, be realistic about them, make them squishy with fuzzy borders, just in case, because, you know, sometimes reality catches up with you and something is a lot harder than you think it is. But, you know, still, that they gave 150 recommendations with no deadlines? That's peculiar.
Yeah, I agree. I think we probably only have enough time on the show for another story. And what we can't really not cover the story coming out of the United States. So that is the decision, the leaked, historically leaked decision by Justice Alito. I'm not going to go into it, essentially shutting down Roe v. Wade. Now, the reason why it is of importance is I will start by saying at the beginning of this decision, just as Alito has written, you know, this only pertains, you know, little note, this only pertains to abortion and abortion access. But that note at the beginning of his leaked decision has no legal weight. It doesn't stand for anything. It's just more somewhat interesting context. The Supreme Court and any other court could change their mind regarding that note in the immediately, in like the next decision they make. It has no weight. But a part of the reasoning behind Alito, his decision on this, essentially arguing, and there's many people who can better phrase this than I, essentially arguing that the right to an abortion is not in the Constitution. It is a sort of a superfluous right that has been invented.
Or that it can't be anchored against something that exists in the Constitution.
Which is a very narrow interpretation of the country, because the right to liberty, I think, for many women would be a pretty key one to ground it in. But in his decision writing, he also specifically references same-sex marriage and even criminal, abolishing the laws criminalizing same-sex intercourse, as also not being grounded in constitutionality. So this is why the gay community isn't, is up in arms, because you actually said to me, there's almost a hysteria of what's next. If this gets shut down, what's next? And I agree with you that there's always a certain amount of blowing it beyond proportion. But the logic which underpins this legal decision, which will be referred to and leaned on by other courts, including the Supreme Court, is that because Roe v. Wade isn't grounded in the Constitution, for example, like same-sex marriage, like same-sex intercourse, they are incredibly vulnerable to this exact same legal logic being applied to them. You know, there is no, he took the legs from underneath the table, essentially. And that is why gay folks in the United States are terrified of what this means, not only for all of the women in their lives, but also for gay folks in their lives. And, we saw Republicans in some constituencies taking the law into their own hands. We've seen that in many places in the U.S., and I think that this is a reasonable fear for some people.
Well, I will say this. I've seen as a result of it, people saying one of the arguments is that there is no federally recognized constitutional protection of privacy in the states. But they're like, the internet exists now. That's an amendment that really should exist. Like the right to privacy didn't really matter 200 years ago when you had to like personally climb into somebody's window, whereas now, we have the Internet of Things. You can hack somebody's toaster and eavesdrop on them. So it's a very different beast now that the world is a very different place. And this is the kind of amendment that really should be added onto the list. And I think from what I understand, it's at least somewhat bipartisan. You have people on both sides of the aisle saying maybe the right to privacy is something worth talking about as an additional amendment. So there could be something coming out of it in the long run. But this is literally just backroom grumbling that it has no precedent or actual reality yet. But it is the kind of thing where people are saying, wait a minute, you mean we didn't have that protected right? So that is the kind of thing that may come out of this.
Well, for many people, they were like, okay, this is settled law. We've come to a decision. Let's all collectively move on. And everyone thought Roe v. Wade was settled law. And now this particular iteration of the Supreme Court has said, well, actually, we're going to crack that open and just get rid of the whole thing. Regardless of any babies in that bathwater, everything has to go. You know, and I think that is why people are looking at everything else and being like, we cannot take for granted any right that LGBT folks has, because it is such a, you know, on such shaky ground as a result of this proposed leaked decision by the US Supreme Court. So we will be monitoring our American cousins and watching the American Song Contest, obviously, to see how things develop there. But we don't usually talk about US news, but this one was a bit too big to knock over. All right, we are playing out with our last track of the day. This one is a track by Incendiary Suite. This is Physics
and Chemistry. I have been Sebastian.
I have been
Thank you for listening.